It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic.
All right. What's this podcast called, Matthew?
This podcast is called The Sean Kemp Redemption.
And what is that referencing? Because you had to explain it to me a few times before I got it.
So, this podcast is, you know, we realize...
Well, what's the name referencing?
We realize we're in October 2011, but this podcast will mainly concern the 1994-95 NBA season, the last year of the collective bargaining agreement that they were currently under during that time. And so, this was when there
I think
was
we should
actually
pretend it's 1994.
An NBA.
We should stay in character.
I will, but I just want to say first.
All right, well,
this is the first ever podcast. Oh, I don't think we...
All right,
this
fair
is
enough.
The first
Go ahead.
Ever podcast that we're doing. We need, you know, to be clear to people.
It's like the inaugural edition of Skybox.
We want to be... Right, it's like...
Which it's not the first annual.
We want to be accessible. Don't want to be too, you know... So just to explain, we're going to be in character for 94-95.
Just to explain, Matthew Blake is wearing a Penny Hardaway jersey.
94-95 was a good year for Sean Kemp, the basketball player.
What is the name reference?
And
Shawshank
Redemption.
And if
which
you
was,
got that, you're smart.
Which was a huge movie in 1994.
Well, it just came out like a month and a half ago. Early September, I think.
Okay.
And we're in late October.
Now we're I'm acquiescing. We're now in character. yeah, so, wow. Why isn't anybody paying attention to that movie? Why aren't people going to that movie? Everybody's like, Forrest Gump this, Forrest Gump that.
But it'll get nominated with Pulp Fiction and...
Quiz Show. I think Quiz Show.
Quiz Show's got a shot.
Quiz Show's like one of those movies that's like, you know, the Academy loves those kind of movies. Because it's like a thinking movie, but not that much of a thinking movie.
I agree. But, I mean, Forrest Gump has a guy playing ping pong and running. And he's retarded, and people love that.
People really like that. It's like the Rain Man of our generation.
Except Rain Man was in our generation. All right, Matt. Why don't you let us know what happened in the off season?
So, being that we're entering 94-95 and there's labor peace in the NBA, we had a very exciting off season. Coming off right now, it's October 1994. Coming off June 1994 with the Houston Rockets defeated the New York Knicks in seven ugly but hotly contested games.
Fuck the Knicks. Go ahead.
The major news of the offseason, to catch you all up, was that the Phoenix Suns, who had lost, you know, to the Rockets in a heartbreaking seven games and the year before, had lost to the Bulls in a heartbreaking six games in the NBA Finals, coming very close, the very talented team, to winning the NBA title in both 93-94, once again reloaded their team with offensive weapons in another bid to win an NBA title.
All right, you're going to have to catch me up on free agent acquisitions.
So the Suns, the major free agent acquisition of the summer was that the Suns signed Danny Manning, the all-star.
After the trade.
After Manning was traded during the last season
for Dominique.
The LA Clippers, right, exactly. From the LA Clippers.
Seeing Dominique on the Clippers made my heart break.
To the Hawks for the
and
great
how'd that work out
Dominique
for the Hawks?
Wilkins. And the Hawks trading away, you know, the face of their franchise in one of their most successful seasons. Karmic retribution for the Hawks as Manning gets injured before the playoffs.
Shocking that he got injured.
And the Hawks lose in the second round to the Indiana Pacers. The Hawks, you can
Do you think if he stayed healthy that they could have still taken the Pacers?
I think if Manning were healthy, maybe. But you got to remember, the Pacers were on a roll at the end of last season.
I think the Pacers had him no matter what. The Pacers are good. I'd like Larry Brown. I'd like what he's done with the team.
Really, the Pacers should have beaten the Knicks in the conference finals. The Manning signing, though, I mean, this guy, he does get injured a lot, as you point out. Obviously not the superstar we imagined when he came into the league from Kansas, but still an all-star player. And I think that, you know, he's giving them another weapon, a multi-dimensional guy, a guy who can pass, rebound, shoot from outside and inside. One thing, though, with Phoenix is that by making this acquisition of Danny Manning in the offseason, the biggest acquisition of the offseason, they also, though, traded Cedric Ceballos, who I really like.
Oh! I like Cedric, too.
To the LA Lakers for just a first-round draft
Where
choice.
Did he finish in the dunk competition? Was he a runner-up, or was he
third? He was number one.
He won?
He won the dunk contest in 92.
Oh, good for him.
And... so, I mean, obviously Manning, you know, better than Ceballos, I guess. But, you know, Ceballos was a real, you know, efficient scorer for them. He had his injury problems as well.
How much does Barkley have left?
How much does Barkley have left? I mean, that's really one of the biggest questions heading into the 94-95 season. His back has been killing him. He said that he was 99.9% sure that he was going to retire after last year, but he's back, you know, maybe in large part because the Suns have once again made a commitment to trying to win it all this year.
And that commitment was to Oliver Miller, right?
No, they've actually, I believe they have dealt away Oliver Miller, a mountain of promise, but mainly a mountain, and they have also this offseason also acquired jazz musician and power forward Wayman Tisdale, a free agent acquisition from Sacramento Kings. More low post offense. The Suns, you know, have no shortage of offensive weapons, as we'll get into in our exciting two-part NBA preview.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. We're doing the Eastern Conference today, but we're just talking about the Suns.
So anyway, I should not you know,
don't give it all
too deep into the whether or not Phoenix will win an NBA title, which is on a lot of, you know, people's minds right now. Instead, I will break Chris's internet connection, and
there's no. Well, yeah, I guess there's the internet, but it's my 56K dial-up.
This actually is a 1994. It could be. Okay, so anyway, to more succinctly answer the question, the other major free agent acquisition this summer was Horace Grant signing with the Orlando Magic, the all-star power forward from the Bulls.
Which is huge. Which is insane.
Improving offensively, but a defensive terror. Horace Grant, in many ways, was his key to the
Bulls.
How
many people put up double-doubles all the time?
I mean, maybe seven. I don't know.
And Horace Grant will do that consistently next to Shaq.
Grant averaged 15 points and 11 rebounds last year for a very, very good Chicago Bulls team that was a fishy Hugh Hollins call away for making the conference finals.
Yeah, I'll try to talk about that.
And along with Charles Oakley and Dennis Rodman, you know, one of the best defensive, you know, forwards in the game right now. So a huge acquisition. And he fits in perfectly with the Orlando Magic, of course, a team that has, you know...
They had a hole at the four,
A starting caliber player at every other position except for the four. So many see that as catapulting Orlando to the top of the Eastern Conference, which we'll get into, you know, in a moment. A couple of other free agent things of note. The Bulls, deeply stung by the loss of Horace Grant, did sign Ron Harper as a free agent.
Right, almost for the same money, correct?
Almost for the same money.
Right, and that's, I don't have a nice word to say stupid, so let's say stupid. Right? I mean, really, Ron Harper for Horace Grant, nobody
Harper,
would do that
though,
trade straight
Harper
up.
Did put up good stats for a bad Clippers team last year. Dominique Wilkins signed with the Boston Celtics in the offseason. Wilkins was an all-star last year, so we'll see how much he has left in the tank.
Celtics don't look good, though, right?
The Celtics do not. The Celtics still reeling from the tragic loss of Reggie Lewis a summer ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would love for Neek to be able to do something for them, but it doesn't seem like
I don't
there's enough around
why
him to be able to make that happen.
Sign with a contender.
All right. I apologize in advance for my lack of knowledge of these things. I've been really busy with my girlfriend, Brenda, but she broke up with me a couple weeks ago. So,
I've never dated anyone. Well, I dated this girl, Katie, for a few weeks when I was 10. We never, like, kissed or anything.
Did you go to a dance?
No, we went to, like, a Halloween... No, not a Halloween.
Did you go to a treehouse?
We may have gone to a tree. Jeez, what was it? Maybe it was, like, an Easter thing. It was some, like, there was some... The most intense it got was some holiday-themed thing.
Did she dress like a sexy fourth grader?
It was fifth grade. She was very attractive. I am, you know.
Are you still in touch with her?
No, she moved. She moved.
Oh.
Out of Ripon.
Is she imaginary or is she real?
No, she is real.
Oh, okay.
But she moved out of Ripon after... We were both in fifth grade, and so I have just, it's 1994, and, you know, I think it's safe to say that I've really fully swung into puberty, and, you know, I think that I'm now showering, you know, every day.
That's a step up, that's an improvement.
I'm brushing my teeth a little bit, I think, at this point, and, So big changes in my life is that my parents now both have jobs.
That's good.
And so we're making home improvements. We are getting new carpet and painting my room.
What color?
White.
Oh, that's really exciting. Is it going to be Mark Price themed?
A lily white room. A room the complexion of Mark Price. One thing before we launch into sort of talking more about our lives and Brenda, is that one big thing from the summer was of course the controversial display of Dream Team 2.
Yeah.
In during the World Championships and
tournament. Who coached that? I mean, it wasn't Daly.
That was, I think that was Don Nelson.
Oh. Well, I mean, I don't know. I love the Warriors this year. I think they're going to be
great. I love
the
Warriors this year, too. I'm really high on the Warriors. If they can get the Weber situation resolved.
I think they will, and I think they're going to be great. And I think that Penny Trade is going to work out great for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's looking better, especially if Tim Hardaway's healthy this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hardaway's unbelievable, so I love the Warriors. Anyway, all right. So, I'm delving back into basketball because my girlfriend broke up with me. So, fuck girls. And we're going to start in the Atlantic with the Boston Celtics because we're already there. What the hell was the Celtics record last year?
I see.
Oh, 32 and 50. That's shitty.
So, the Celtics, this is a team... All their players from the 80s Celtics, of course, are now retired, except for Robert Parrish, who signed with the Hornets as a free agent in the offseason.
So Parrish is 41, went to the Hornets,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a great move for the Hornets, because you need 41-year-old guys that can punch people. It's important, especially with Eric Johnson.
Does he still have it in him to punch people? I mean, that's a big question.
I don't...
Parrish.
What else did they sign him for? I mean... Morning
well,
can play the bulk
morning
of them.
Gets injured again, you know.
Well, yeah. But I don't know. I think it's a good signing for them. The Celtics team saying they're in transition. I mean, what are the young players on the Celtics? I mean, it's not like D. Brown's going to lead them to anything.
I mean, maybe
it's...
they'll build around Eric Montross.
The Eric Montross draft is a joke. I mean, I'm really happy they took him because I don't like the Celtics. And he will... I mean, he is a classic college player. What he did at North Carolina is pretty much the peak of what he's ever going to do. I hope they start him every game and they lose seven.
I mean,
games.
He really seems like a stiff. I mean, I would have, you know, I would have taken Jalen Rose.
Oh yeah, Rose dropped to 13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, you just need to take the best player available. I mean, yeah, they're picking a big, but that was ridiculous.
So they're getting their points from Wilkins this year.
Points from Wilkins, and is Xavier McDaniel still on this team?
Xavier McDaniel is not still on this team.
Oh. But are you excited about the Rick Fox era? Are you excited about Blue Edwards?
Blue Edwards.
This team's awful.
I feel that Blue Edwards, I feel that we've heard the last out of Blue Edwards. I feel that Purvis Ellison signing, I feel that he could have had a good career if he didn't get injured so much, but he has gotten injured so much, and it's a dumb signing.
I agree. And he's fighting with Eric Montrose for minutes, and that
the Montrose Ellison battle for the starting center position of the Celtics is something that few will closely monitor.
All right, so the Celtics had 32 wins last year, over and under for 94-95, 32 wins.
Well, I think that on paper they've improved with the Wilkins signing. And the East, you know, is not that great this year, not that strong overall. So I say they win 35 games.
I don't know. I'm taking the under. Under on 32. All right. The Heat.
The Heat. We could talk for hours about this year's Heat team. They are
coming into their own with Glenn Rice, cycling, I think, right in the prime of their careers.
Glenn Rice, you know, is I guess an all-star. You know, it doesn't look like he's gonna become a superstar though. Cycly, a little inconsistent. You know, their whole team's a little undersized, I feel like.
I mean, Steve Smith is pretty big. I mean, playing a two.
Steve Smith is big. That's true. Steve Smith is big. He's kind of, I don't know. I feel like Steve Smith is kind of more hype at this point. I don't know. I would like to see them give more minutes to Harold Miner, see what he can do.
I mean, I agree. Yeah, I don't know. There's a jam there. I mean, they could make a move for somebody, but I think the Heat are going to put things together this year a little bit and at least move past the first round. They played the Hawks really hard
They did play the Hawks really hard. You got to give them that. I think that Rice and Smith are both good crunch time players. I still don't like them up front. I think Grant Long is undersized at power forward.
Yeah, he is.
I feel like this is a team.
What about John Sally playing more minutes? You think Sally's got anything on
him? I feel like John Sally is not as funny as he thinks he is. And I think that, you know, overall this team, you know, we were excited about them a couple years ago when they made the playoffs, but when they made the playoffs again as an eight last year, I think that, I don't know. Let me ask you. I mean, what direction is this team headed in? Are they going to build around Glenn Rice?
Yeah, they're building around Rice and Smith, I think, and Cycli. I mean, they're short of four, but, you know, a lot of teams got positional problems, and I think, you know, Glenn Rice can definitely take a huge step forward. Mm-hmm. And having guys that can shoot from the outside, especially if they match up with somebody like the Knicks in the playoffs, I think they would do really well. I think they could shoot from the outside and fuck with their defensive style of play enough that they could take out a top team from like a 6 or 7 seed. And I think that will happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Encouraging words for Miami Heat fans out there.
I mean, Cycli's good on the inside. I mean,
Cycli puts up good rebounding numbers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, where would you have Cycli ranked on centers in the league?
You know, I put Cycli right now. So this, you know, the centers, there's strong time for centers with the development of Shaq.
I mean, you would put Brad Doherty ahead of Cycli?
I would. I mean, if Brad Doherty is healthy, Brad Doherty is a much better player than Cycli.
Okay, I'll take one of Cycli.
I mean, Doherty's health is, you know, a big question mark, which
Cycli's game is, I feel like I like it against players like Ewing. I mean, Morning, I think, could eat him up. But against a guy like Ewing, I think he could work outside enough in the mid-range jump shots to sort of work it.
I'm going to say that Miami, you know, their teams, young teams, Orlando, Charlotte, and the East, clearly moving in the right direction, clearly with big time talent. I don't see Miami as one of those teams. I see Miami.
I think they're a move away, but I think they will be better. I think they're going to make at least the jump. They have so much talent that I don't.
I do think that they'll leapfrog New Jersey this year.
Definitely.
Who I will, I mean, we'll get to them in a moment, but I think that, I don't know, they won what, 42 games last year?
That's right.
So I think, I don't see them doing much better than that though.
All right, so 42, over under. What are you going to take? I'm taking the over.
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, I guess Smith, Rice, Cycli.
42 games? They're going to win more than 42 games. Come on.
I'm.
They're better than the Sixers.
All right, I'm taking the over just because they play in such a bad division. They're
yeah.
going to win games.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a part of
Boston,
it. I feel like they're a team that can exploit bad teams.
Yeah.
All right. Nets, Matthew.
The New Jersey Nets are coached now by Butch Beard.
What happened to Chuck Daly?
Butch Beard is best known for being Marv Albert's analyst when Marv Albert does play-by-play. Obviously, the Nets have Derek Holman and Kenny Anderson, two Gen X stars that, you know, I feel... You know, as a 12-year-old.
Do you like Willis Reed as the GM of this team? Do you think he's done a good job? You think Kenny Anderson's going to be able to shoot better than crap?
No.
I don't either.
Kenny Anderson, a very exciting player to watch. He hasn't done enough to improve his jump shot.
And I think Coleman's peaked, too. I think Coleman is pretty much at what his game is.
I mean, this guy, I mean, who has more talent in the NBA?
I mean, he's
than Derek
a 20
Coleman.
And 10. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, if I had
this
a choice between him and
all.
Grant, I would take Coleman.
Coleman can put it on the floor.
I don't think
rebound.
Coleman's ever
going
to be more than what he is right now. And I don't think you can win a championship with Coleman as your best player.
I mean, a motivated Derek Coleman is one of the 10 best players in the game. I don't know. I mean, he played well against the Knicks, I thought, in the playoffs. I mean... I think this is a year where Derek Coleman, he's, you know...
You think he makes a jump this year?
I do. I think people knock Derek Coleman, you know, call him a knucklehead, you know, say he misses practice too much. I think Derek Coleman, I think we're seeing a 23-12 from Derek Coleman this year with four
Whoa.
Assists. I think that Derek Coleman...
He's starting in the All-Star game this year?
I think he is. I think he's better than Larry Johnson right now. Larry Johnson's, you know, back issues.
Is he better than Sean Kemp right now?
I think...
You would have Derek
yes,
Coleman over Sean Kemp.
I think I would.
Would you have him over Karl Malone? Is he the
no,
best power...
He is, no, he's not going to have the productivity of Karl Malone. I don't think that. But I do think...
Would you rather have
jump.
Derek Coleman or Chris Webber?
I would rather have Webber.
I would rather have Webber as well.
I mean, just because of his long-term potential. But I think that...
But for this year, you'd take Coleman.
For this year,
all right, well,
I
but
put
then
Derek
where
Coleman
are the
on my
Nets
All-NBA second team. I mean, I think that this is a very schizophrenic team. You know, part of me wants to say that they've, you know, they've psychologically recovered from the death of Drazen Petrovic and that they're ready to...
Was Drazen really close with many players on that team?
No, but I mean, his you know, I mean, as a player, though, his, you know, he's averaging 22 a game, great shooting guard. But I mean, they're such a schizophrenic team. I mean, they got all these people on this team that are just a bad
influence
to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than Kevin Edwards, but...
I mean... Chris Morris. I mean, Chris Morris, this guy, talk about somebody who has peaked. I mean, this guy, we've been waiting, you know, 6 years for Chris Morris at this point to make an impact in the league. you know, I mean, Benoit Benjamin is on your team. I mean, obviously that's a bad influence.
Yeah, I don't like this team very much. The
drafting of Yinka Dare, I think, you know, was interesting, but I just see him as another.
I mean, he's down the road.
Benjamin, yeah, down the road he could be good. I don't think he's the next Ikem Olajuwon, even though they're both from Nigeria.
I don't think there is an next Ikem Olajuwon. And also, Ikem didn't blow things up when he first came in the league either. So
the Nets won. Well, the Nets won like 45 last year.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I think they're gonna, you know.
I'm taking the under on 45.
Yeah,
I think they drop back to the pack. I think, yeah.
Can Butch Beard coach a team full of
lesbians?
Full of reputed lesbians, and also Benoit Benjamin, Chris Morris. You know, some real, you know, grade A knuckleheads. I say no. I think that Miami finishes ahead of them. I think that despite all their talent and despite a great season by Derek Coleman, even though they might have two All-Stars on their team with Coleman and Kenny Anderson.
It's not enough, though. I mean, they also don't play together like the best. I mean, they aren't Stockton and Malone. They're just not.
Yeah, they're not right now. And,
I don't think they're going to be.
You don't think they're going to be?
No, Stockton shoots better than Kenny Anderson. He opens up. Stockton opens up more things with his shot, I feel like. And Coleman's perimeter game isn't as good as Karl Malone's. I mean, they're forced to work on an interior, and people can isolate on Kenny Anderson without a real two in there.
Mm-hmm. Real maturity issues with Anderson still, I feel like.
You know, I agree.
This guy, you know, he's, I mean, we've been following him since
Georgia
Tech.
Well, he's on a team that also isn't going to engender that yet. I don't know. I think the Nets are going to fall back. And I don't like that Beard guy because his name's Beard.
I think it was a bad signing. I think they needed another Daly, another strong-willed personality to rein those guys in. And
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I see them doing about the same as last year, but I agree with you that I think Miami will overtake them.
What pick was Inca taken in?
He was 14th.
14th. All right. Well, there weren't a lot of other late senior, junior players out of college coming out then. Were there available?
I mean, they could have. I mean, with the Petrovic, death, I mean, that left such a hole for them at shooting guard. You know, Kevin Edwards, you know, if he's the answer, I don't want to know the question. Aaron McKee was available. I mean,
I like McKee. I think McKee would. I think McKee's gonna end up pretty good.
He had a bad shooting at Temple, but yeah, Chuck Person's brother was still on the board. You know?
Oh, really?
You know, Wesley Person. Phoenix picks him up.
What pick was that?
I think it's 23rd. Phoenix picks him up.
Oh, that would have been good for him. I mean, really? Yeah, I don't know. They're caught in limbo. They either need a trade up or trade down. Either stockpile a bunch of guys, see who fits, or trade up and get, you know, Jalen Rose.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, so we have sort of the Nets, you know, about 500 this year.
All right, we're both under on the Nets. All right, next is the motherfucking Knicks. Do you want to recap the Knicks playoff run from last year very succinctly? Because I don't want to hear about it that much.
The New York Knicks made the NBA Finals last year and lost in 7 games to the Houston Rockets. They nearly won Game 6 and 7, but John Starks missed a bunch of shots. That's the most succinct way to put it. And Patrick Ewing also missed a bunch of shots. Mm. While the Knicks nearly beat the Rockets, they also very nearly lost to the Bulls in the second round and the Pacers in the conference finals.
Correct, which they probably should have lost both those series.
Questionable officiating in both series helped the Knicks.
Questionable's really generous, man. You mean shitty?
Shitty officiating helped the Knicks. And so, I mean, a glass half full look at the Knicks heading into this year is that they came this close to being NBA champions. A glass half empty look is they probably should have lost to the Bulls, and Ewing and Starks both fell short when it counted the most.
Yeah, I'm really glad that John Starks is on this team.
John Starks, do you see Starks? He made his first All-Star team last year.
Which
you see him being
insane.
A consistent All-Star?
Absolutely not.
No?
No, there's no chance John Starks is a consistent All-Star. John Starks is a product of that system. If you put him on any other team in the league, he would average 12 points and 4 assists.
Maybe it seems like Pat Riley, everyone says Pat Riley is a great coach, but maybe Riley, I feel like he's not teaching offense. It's like,
well, he produces wins, which I think is a good quality. I mean, you know, as a coach, it's like he gets the most out of the talent that he does have.
You think so? Why did he never play Rolando Blackman? I never understood
that.
I
have no explanation for that. Blackman should have played more. I don't know why Hubert Davis has so many minutes.
Why? I mean, Tony Campbell. He signs Tony Campbell 2 years ago. Anyway. I mean, obviously.
Was Campbell on his Lakers teams?
He never played him on the Lakers either. When
oh, okay.
I mean,
so
he was just. I mean, Riley.
Maybe he's really good at high
Riley,
fives.
He gets these. You know, he gets this attitude. You know, we want all these guys with the right attitude, and none of those guys can shoot. And anyway, I mean, the Knicks were getting into some profound NBA issues, and one of those issues is Patrick Ewing good enough to lead this team to an NBA title this year.
Yeah, and also how much will Oakley be able to contribute to this team?
And Oakley, you wonder with this guy. His aggression, his injuries.
I mean, I think Oakley is the real part of this team. I mean, Oakley, I think, really sort of turns the gears of this team in a lot of ways.
Sure.
And if he is not able to be Charles Oakley as much anymore, which is a possibility. I mean, at some point he won't be able to. I mean, it could happen this year and it could happen next, but this team falls apart without Oakley, I would say.
Do you... There's so many question marks on this team. Is Derek Harper good enough to be their point guard? You know, is Charles Smith, you know, is the light bulb finally going to go in?
I think it could. I think if Charles Smith's light bulb goes on, this team will make it to the finals again.
I mean, if certain players step up, they make the finals.
And Charlie Ward. I love the Charlie Ward pick.
Good at Florida State. I feel like it's sort of like a novelty pick. It's like, oh, he won the Heisman Trophy.
If he went into the NFL, I think he would have been a top 10 or 15 pick, maybe? I don't know. I think that Charlie Ward, given a couple years, given a time to develop, and there's not a lot of pressure on him. They're going to let him sit and play in spots, and I think Charlie Ward could develop into a really, really good player for this team. I would much rather have him out there than John Starks a lot of the time.
Yeah, John Starks. I don't know what was wrong with that guy. I mean,
he's
John
Starks.
He was just so up and down.
He fucking sucks. He's a piece of shit.
I don't know. He's like a boisterous Joe Dumars sometimes, I think. I think, I don't know.
That is an insult to Joe Dumars to even compare those two.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they both, I don't know, they're both good offensively and defensively.
John Starks from the outside compared to John Dumars is a joke. Dumars destroys John Starks from the outside. Starks relies on everyone else around him. He is a quintessential weak link.
Ewing got badly outplayed by Olajuwon in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Have we seen the best of Patrick Ewing?
Not necessarily. I think he's not as good as Olajuwon, but, you know, who is? So.
Maybe. Well, we'll get to Shaq in a moment.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, he's done okay against Shaq, right?
I mean, Ewing... I don't know. I don't see Ewing... Yeah, I mean, he had a great game 7 against the Pacers. I don't know. I don't think...
I think you can win a title with Ewing as your best player.
But can you win a title with Ewing as your best player and Starks as your second best player?
No, absolutely not. That's the problem.
So I think that the Knicks...
I mean, there's so much depth here with Doc Rivers, Charlie Ward, Greg Anthony. There's a lot here.
I feel like they have an unsettled point guard situation.
You just named.
I mean, they have 4 point guards. Rivers, Anthony, Harper, Ward.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, you know, I'm not going to say that Pat Riley can't figure this out, because he most certainly can. And if he adjusts his team and starts playing a different style, I think that they can be good. Do I think that will happen? No.
I mean, who do you want I mean, Anthony Mason or Charles Smith, I mean, who should they be putting their, you know, who should they be giving the minutes to at small forward, I guess?
I mean, I'd say Anthony, but I would say also that just to figure it out as the season goes along. It's a soft conference. You don't need to win a bazillion games. They can be a three That's seed true. And they can do well. This is the perfect time for them to figure this out during the season. I think if they do that and they do figure out that situation for the playoffs, they'll be able to make a good run.
So I think that I agree with that. I think the Knicks will kind of go on cruise control during the regular season, and I think that they'll, you know, they won fewer games last year than they did the year before. I think they will again win fewer games.
57, so you're taking the under on 57?
I think they will win between 50 and 57 games. So
I agree with that. I'll take the under on that, and I will take them to advance still. All right, the Magic. Let's do it.
Okay, I mean, maybe the most intriguing team in the Eastern Conference. Here's a team that in the history of their franchise has never won a playoff game. And yet, they're the chic pick.
And they lost Skiles this year, right?
They traded away Skiles because they're going to give Penny Hardaway and Brian Shaw all the minutes at point guard. Brian Shaw, free agent acquisition for them this summer.
Did he come from the Celtics?
Came from the Heat, originally with the Celtics. Brian Shaw, I mean, this is a guy with a lot of talent. Hasn't quite ever put it together, but he could be good as a sixth man for Orlando.
Is his shot that much better than Penny's shot?
No. His shot is probably worse than Penny's shot.
So they don't match. Because Penny still doesn't have a shot. I mean, he's not...
They don't need Penny Hardaway to be shooting outside jumpers. I mean, that's what they have Dennis Scott for.
It's true.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like... I mean, okay. They have Shaq. They have Penny. They have Horace Grant. They have three guys there that are all-stars.
Yeah. And I mean, Scott's made an all-star team, hasn't he?
No, I mean, Dennis Scott, I see Scott as a question mark. I like Nick Anderson, though, a lot. I really think that Nick Anderson is a good all-around shooting guard that, you know, offensively, defensively.
He's big for a shooting guard, too.
He's a big shooting guard, I think. I mean, that backcourt now, you know, is a tantalizing backcourt on paper. A lot of size with Hardaway and Nick Anderson and Shaw coming off the bench.
I really like Scott from the outside. I mean, he's a big... I mean, he's one of the biggest... For his size, as a three-point shooter. Does anybody else match him?
Maybe Glenn Rice, but...
Yeah, but that's it.
I mean...
That's something you can exploit with Shaq on the inside, I feel like.
I feel like they're going to start Donald Royal at small forward this year and bring Scott off the bench. I think that...
I think that's stupid.
I mean, obviously, this is a very talented team. I mean, how talented, though? They couldn't win a game against the Pacers in the playoffs last year without Horace Grant. Now with Grant, with Brian Shaw taking the place of Scott Skiles, you know, can they beat the Pacers in the playoffs? Can they beat the Knicks in the playoffs?
I mean, I think that's a question, but I think they will end up with a 1 or 2 seed. And I think they will gain confidence from an easy victory in the first round of the playoffs and be able to move on from that.
Yeah, maybe these are questions best left to answer in April. I think that what we know right now is that, you know, given that the Knicks are going on cruise control, I think the Magic, even if they're not the best team in the East, finish with the best record in the East.
I think it's between them and the Hornets for the best record. Or, well, I don't know, the Pacers could do it as well. But I see them in the top three without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just too good. I mean, Brian Hill isn't that bad.
How good do you think Penny Hardaway will become this year? He had a great surge at the end of last year. He was the only one that really showed up in the playoffs, I thought, against the Pacers.
I think he's a year away.
You think he's a year away?
At least. I don't think he's going to develop that shot that quick. I think he could end up playing. I mean, he's great defensively.
He's good defensively. He gambles, but he, I mean, who would you rather have right now, Penny Hardaway or Kenny Anderson?
Oh, Penny. I mean, long term, you mean, or for 1 year?
For this year. I'm saying who's going to be better this year, Penny Hardaway or Kenny
Anderson?
I'll take
Penny. I mean, Penny feels like more of a gamble. And also, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, if Penny was on the Nets, he could be a total mess. I mean, he might shoot 35% if he was on the Nets with just Derek Coleman.
It's obviously a good situation for him in Orlando. Do you think he's better than Mark Price?
No. I'll take Price.
Yeah. All right, so Orlando.
All right, Orlando last year, 50 wins. I'm hitting an over, a far over on that.
Definitely an over. I mean, Penny and Shaq are a year older. Nick Anderson and Scott are a year older, and they brought in Grant.
Obviously, and what do you look for from Tree Rollins this year? 17-year veteran.
I look for a lot of stories about wild and crazy parties from the early 80s Atlanta Hawks.
I'm excited for that. All right, next, Sixers.
So, Philadelphia...
Wait, Sean Bradley is injured, correct?
Sean Bradley is having problems with his body. I'm not
me too.
Sure how many games Sean Bradley is playing. I am 5 foot two and weigh 90 pounds. I'm very thin.
So you're like half of Sean Bradley.
I am half of Sean Bradley right now, and the same complexion and one.
So Bradley was taken two in this draft. Yeah. What do you think about how he's going to play out?
I mean, the Sixers, I mean, you remember how upset I was. I threw a temper tantrum. The Sixers were so stupid taking Sean Bradley over Penny Hardaway and Jamal Mashburn. I mean...
Over Mashburn, I definitely agree.
I mean, here you have two guys, Hardaway and Mashburn, that we watched throughout college. They were awesome in
Mashburn's
college.
A proven player. Mashburn will be a multiple all-star. He is just a lock. And the Sixers, I mean, to fill that place that Barkley left, I mean, they need somebody.
Clarence Weatherspoon is good. He's no Barkley. I don't like anything about the Sixers. Let me say, I think that they're, you know, Sean Bradley is the Sam Bowie of the 90s. I think that this is a guy who's always going to be injured. I don't like that. Sharon Wright, I mean, drafting Sharon Wright, I mean, that's not going to fill the seats. I mean, this is a team.
Well,
Sharon Wright, Sean Bradley, Clarence Weatherspoon,
Clarence Weatherspoon is awful. I love Dana Barros, but he's in purgatory right now.
I think that Dana Barros, it's a tragedy that he was traded from Seattle where
he fit perfectly. He was perfect on that Seattle team.
This is a team, you know, they brought in John Lucas. You know, it's good to see John Lucas sober, but they're just not that good. And they have some young pieces with Sharon Wright, with BJ Tyler maybe. But
yeah, they're a broken team, and their jerseys are terrible. The jersey switch was awful, and they're awful.
I mean, it's like a Trivial Pursuit jersey. I mean, it looks like Trivial Pursuit pieces. And I think that they're... How many games did they win last year?
I think 25.
They're going to lose more. They're going to lose
more.
You're going
to say under on 25? I mean, I can't even argue with you. 25?
Unless Clarence Weatherspoon becomes an all-star, which I don't see happening, they don't have enough talent to win games. They're going to win 21 games. That's my prediction. 21 games.
I'm going to predict a push on 25. I say they have the exact same record. Bradley comes back at the end of the year and does something to give false hope and hurt everyone's feelings.
Here's an interesting thing with Philadelphia. Monitoring a college game this year, Rasheed Wallace is going to get major minutes for North Carolina finally, mm-hmm. after sitting on the bench last year. Rasheed Wallace, some people think he could be the number one overall pick as soon as next year.
But in
Philadelphia native, Rasheed Wallace...
That's true, but he hasn't shown a ton. I mean, scoring-wise, I mean, he's extremely athletic, but there's no guarantee that his game's ever going to come. You know what? There's a chance he could be worse than Clarence Weatherspoon.
Clarence Weatherspoon is
He could
a
be Clarence Weatherspoon light, literally.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not very excited about the Sharon Wright era. All right. So we've had our way with making fun of the 76ers.
All right, let's finish off the Atlantic.
The Atlantic Division.
We have the Washington Bullets.
We have the Bullets.
I am excited for.
I am very offended by the name, as Washington continues to be the murder capital of the country.
Shut the fuck up.
And I think that they should change it to something else.
Something more mystical, maybe?
And I think they should maybe change it to something more mystical. I think that, you know, this is, you know...
What do you think about the Duckworths?
I think that... maybe the Ducks. And maybe they call the team the Ducks, and maybe it'll finally motivate Kevin Duckworth. Because nothing else has motivated Kevin Duckworth the last 3 years. Can you believe that this guy, you know... made 2 all-star teams. I mean, this guy has just totally fallen off the face of the earth. I mean,
he works well with other players around him.
I mean, this was someone
on the Blazers teams. He got beat by Cartwright, but he didn't get embarrassed by Cartwright.
Kevin Duckworth is as disappointing as he is fat at this point.
Well,
the Duckworth. I mean, this is a team in perpetual disarray.
Who's coaching the Bullets this year?
I mean, at this point, I don't even know if it matters. I mean, Wes Unseld coached them forever. I mean, now.
Oh, Jim Lynham.
Now we have Jim Lynham, who actually was an underrated coach in Philadelphia. I mean. Won some games with the Philadelphia team that had
was
Charles
he the coach
Barkley
with the and the Bird? They went to the conference finals,
and,
right?
And not much else. Well, they went to the semifinals.
Okay.
A couple of years,
but that was a team that did not have a ton of talent.
Not a ton,
other
of talent.
Than Barkley.
Lynham,
I mean.
You know, Lynham got the most out of players.
Did they have
like Mike
Hersey
Jimenez.
Hawkins?
Yeah, Hersey Hawkins. Lynham worked well with Hawkins. I mean, Lynham developed Hawkins.
So it's pretty much in the same situation here. Except with slightly less talent. Except for Juwan Howard, who is going to tear the shit out of everybody.
I like Howard a lot, too.
Howard's going to be fantastic. I think him and Gugliotta are going to be... I mean, even with Duckworth, I mean, that's a fantastic front court.
Howard and
Gugliotta come
to play every night, unlike Duckworth. They need to get rid of Duckworth. I just think that Duckworth is a cancer on that team.
I think Duckworth works well with
these players.
He could
eat Calvert Cheney in practice. We could have, you know, their starting shooting guard devoured by Kevin Duckworth.
Well, who's going to get minutes between Skiles and Chapman?
I mean, you have, you know, 2 of the more volatile white players in the league right now.
I mean, Chapman's fan. I think Chapman needs to see a lot. I think he does a lot better when he has minutes on the floor. His shot
selection, you know, remains hideous. A talented player, sure, but he... I don't feel he's... I still feel like he hasn't grown up.
He might not, but still, there aren't a lot of players to bring... His skill set and his size, I think, are extremely valuable.
A real player to watch. You know, I mean, this team obviously... You know, with Gugliotta's breakout year last year, they obviously have some talent, but... Real player to watch is Calvert-Chaney, who really didn't show me very much his rookie year after being, you know... College Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think Chaney could definitely still develop into something. I mean, he's also, yeah, he's, I mean, the Wizard, the Bullets could be one of the biggest teams in the year. I mean, just size-wise, I mean, they're huge. They're a really massive team.
I mean, they do have Jorge Mirosan, who got some major minutes as a rookie. The Romanian Jorge Mirosan.
I think they're going to be able to beat a lot of mediocre teams, a lot of teams that are smaller just with their size. Not saying they're going to go anywhere, but, like, I think they will beat the shit out of the Sixers consistently.
You know, Don McLean is a good sixth man. I mean, he is the most improved player in the league last year.
Yeah, 18 points a game.
You know, he doesn't do much else other than shoot, but, you know...
I mean, yeah, and he's 6'10". I mean, this is just a massive
team.
They
have one of... I mean, if you were to only let white players play, they have one of the best...
They are definitely the best
white team out there. I mean, you can put Skiles, Chapman, McLean, Gugliotta and Jorge Mirasan out there, and you know that beats anybody else's white starting five.
And Kenny Walker can just cheer him on.
I guess you've sort of convinced me in a way that the Bullets have more talent.
I mean, they're gonna be a seven or eight seed. They won 24 games last year. They're going to push for a 7 or 8. If they stay healthy, I think they're there. They're going to beat up on the crap teams well enough that they are going to be able to look respectable by the end of the year. And if Jim Lynham gets creative, this could be a very, very fascinating team to watch.
I think their goal should be the 8th seed.
I agree.
I think with Howard, I agree with you about Howard. I think that Howard will be a good power forward in this league. I think the Howard Gugliotta forward combination with McLean coming off the bench is pretty good.
I want to see Howard and Murison. I think that would fascinate me.
Murison is a real wild card. His size and his ugliness are a deterrent. I don't know. I think they'll definitely be better than Philadelphia. I think that maybe they could compete with Boston for
I think they'll be better than Boston.
For the fifth place in the once proud Atlantic Division.
I think they'll do to what they're gonna do well, but we can both agree they are probably the ugliest.
Their
team.
Point guard situation is unresolved.
Yeah, well you can figure that out.
We'll resolve that later. Okay, so quickly, we've given a very detailed analysis of the Atlantic Division. So we both have Orlando number one in the Atlantic.
Yes.
New York number two.
Yes.
All right, and then maybe we start to disagree a little bit more. Maybe not. I guess we both have Miami number three.
Yeah. Do you want to wait till we go for the playoffs 1 through 8? Picking in division just seems so much more random.
Okay. Well, all right. Sure.
We got more. On to the Central. Hawks. No Neek.
The Hawks are a team that
are going in the wrong direction.
You know, out of nowhere, they win 57 games last year. Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah, I mean, I love Lenny Wilkins. It was great what they did last year, but, man, this team is just fucked. How many minutes is Craig Elo going to get on this team?
Too many.
Is John Konak a real center? No.
John Konak. I can't even bother to learn how to pronounce this guy's last name. And I think, okay, so we both agree that the Hawks are not going to win 57 games like they won last year.
Is their best player Mookie or Stacey Ogden?
Mookie is their best player.
Okay.
They both have great names. I think that I feel that there's some sort of karmic retribution against Atlanta, like
what
we talked about earlier, for trading away Neek during their one good year.
I think they missed the playoffs.
I don't think they missed the playoffs, but I think
Lenny Wilkins retires and they miss the playoffs.
I think they become an ordinary team once again.
I think they become subordinary. I think they fucking suck.
All right.
Next, Hornets.
Hornets.
Oh my goodness.
Here's a team.
Bringing in Michael Adams, I thought was fucking brilliant.
We had big thoughts, big dreams for the Hornets last year, and then Mourning and Larry Johnson get injured.
This is their year. They're the one or the two this year.
The big question is whether Johnson is healthy.
Yeah, but I think they can get by without him being totally healthy for a while. I think he's going to be okay because he's Larry fucking Johnson.
You know, besides that big question, there are a lot of small questions, like is Muggsy Bogues too small to be point guard?
Well, that's why Michael Adams isn't big either, but I think being able to mix and match those two is actually really hard to coach against.
They have such a small team. Okay, Their center is 6'10". Their power forward, Larry Johnson, is 6'6". Their small forward is... who are they going to play at the three this year? Their small forward is small... They're not going to, unless they want to, you know, play a trick on us, they're not going to start Gaddison at the three. But their shooting guard, Hersey Hawkins, is 6'3", very short. Their point guard, Muggsy Bogues, 5'3". I'm almost 5'3".
They play big, though. I mean, Morning plays big and Johnson plays big. And I think that's why they brought in Parrish. I think when they have those bad matchups against big teams like the Bullets, that they'll just throw Parrish in there and he will just throw elbows. And everybody else will be able to do what they want to do. I also like Ramil Robinson on this team a lot. I think he's got a year coming back. Ramil Robinson, comeback player of the year.
I mean, they did. They did play well in the playoffs 2 years ago. Exit question. Would you rather have the Hornets roster or the Magic roster?
The Magic. I mean, they have Shaq.
Yeah.
I think that sort of trumps everything else, but... The Hornets roster has a lot more flexibility. I mean, with Penny, too. I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, my reflex is to say the Magic. And I think losing Skiles is sort of... There's a little bit more freedom there. I'd say the Magic, but... I don't know. Yeah. The Magic have more upside. The Hornets... I don't know. I really like the Hornets. I think they're going to be great this year.
All right.
Del Curry prediction, points per game this year.
14.
Good call. Okay, the Bulls. Oh, wait, hold on. We didn't do the over-under on wins.
Oh, yeah, over-under on wins.
41, we both take the over, right?
Obviously the over.
Far over.
Unless they have another nightmare string of injuries. How many games, I mean, not to dwell on the Hornets, but how many games do you think the Hornets will win this year?
56.
Okay.
What do you think?
52.
Oh, okay. I think, I don't know. Yeah, it depends on health, but I think they're going to do better than that. One team I think they're going to have more wins than is the Chicago Bulls.
The Hornets overtaking the Bulls in the Central Division.
Without a doubt. The Bulls are a fucking catastrophe at this point.
The Horace Grant. Jerry Krause claims he had a handshake deal with Horace Grant. I don't trust Jerry Krause as far as I can throw him.
You can't throw him very far.
Which isn't very far.
I don't even think you could pick him up. I don't even think you could push him. I think if you did, you would fall over.
You know, another thing with the Bulls, not only do they lose Grant in the offseason, they lose Scott Williams.
Yeah, they have no depth. They got JoJo English on their team. Kukoc makes twice as much as Pippen right now, I think.
To briefly recap...
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to cover my ears. Go ahead.
The intrigue that, you know, my driving around in the car with my dad on draft day back from Country Kitchen in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, we hear on WMVP radio that Scottie Pippen... and the number 21 overall pick in the draft have been traded to the Seattle Supersonics for Sean Kemp, Ricky Pierce, and the number 11 overall pick. A seismic development. Apparently, though, the deal is squashed because people on sports talk radio in Seattle were so upset by it.
It's the only time that people in sports talk radio in Seattle have ever had an influence on anything.
This has been a very tumultuous year for Seattle, with the death of Kurt Cobain and the Sonics' first round loss, which we'll get into.
And losing Sean Kemp just would have been too much.
In next week's podcast. So the Bulls, Pippen is an unhappy camper. Rumors that he was going to be traded to the Bullets this summer also.
Trying to ship him everywhere. I mean, anyone that will pay him, he's severely underpaid on that team.
Do you think that they'll still trade Pippen?
I think they tried their best.
Yeah. I mean, Kemp, they're at least getting a young superstar.
Well, that would have been a great trade for the Bulls.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get Sean Kemp for Scottie Pippen? Are you kidding me? I don't know what Scottie's going to contribute anymore to this team.
Definitely a malcontent at this point.
This is a team without
Would you say Pippen is damaged goods?
Well, they could have gotten Kemp for him, almost, so he's not that damaged. But I think the longer he stays on this team, the more he rots, and he will soon have very, very, very little value. And, yeah, I mean, they're building this team around Kukoc and, I guess, BJ Armstrong, which seems ridiculous to me, but...
I don't see BJ doing much more than he did last year.
I don't either. I think that was the peak of his abilities, and yeah, they're a mess all around.
The post-Jordan honeymoon is over. This team finishes 500.
I think they finish below 500. I don't trust Dickie Simpkins. I don't trust
I mean, they could get a monster year out of Ron Harper. I mean, all bets are off if Ron Harper plays like an all-star.
I don't know. He's got Clipper stink on him. The Bulls are constructing themselves like a team that's competing for a 7th seed instead of a team for the championship. And I think they're going to play out that way, except worse. And, right. Yeah.
Bleak on the Bulls.
Very bleak.
55 wins last year. We both
55, far under. I think this is Phil Jackson's last year.
So the Bulls and Hornets could almost reverse positions.
I think that would be extremely accurate. I mean, those wins are coming from somewhere. I see this Bulls team just falling apart.
Speaking of teams on the decline, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Magic Johnson once called the Cavs the team of the 90s. He was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I liked this team a few years ago, but they're just nothing anymore. I like Danny Ferry a lot, but I think he takes a step forward. I think Doherty's a mess, and he's
every
a step
year.
Back.
Every fall, we come into these seasons and we wonder about the health of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And whether it's Brad Doherty's herniated disc, Mark Price's anterior cruciate ligament.
They have a great backcourt. They have one of the best backcourts in the East with Price and Wilkins. But that's pretty much what they have, I feel like, at this point. And they're going to regress. This is a team that's trying to tread water, and I feel like that's what they're going to do. They won 47 games last year. I'll take an under.
One interesting footnote about Cleveland, I take the under also, is that they've made a couple of smart draft choices. You know, they traded away a lot of their draft picks in the Danny Ferry deal, but when they have drafted, they've drafted Terrell Brandon and Chris Mills, and you wonder if that's the future of their team, and if so, sort of, you know... maybe they should trade Mark Price while they can still get a lot for him.
Oh, they should get anything they can for Doherty right now. I mean, they need to be in a reconstruct mode, but they're obviously not, and I don't think their younger players are going to get enough minutes. I mean, yeah.
A team in transition.
Terrell Brandon needs to be on the floor all the time. Yeah, they're a broken team, I feel like.
At least the Indians are doing well.
Yeah. Oh, it's your Detroit Pistons, Matthew. What do you think? How the Pistons doing?
Well, last year was a very upsetting year for me.
How many games did we win last year?
Not just because I was in sixth grade, but because the Pistons...
How many games did they win?
The Pistons had a rough year.
They won 20 games last year.
They won 20.
That's not very good. That's like less than 30 and less than 40 and less than 50.
The silver lining of the pathetic... scary, awful season the Pistons had last year
was you got a player from Duke who is old and doesn't quite fit into the NBA.
Grant Hill, mark my words, Grant Hill will be a star in this league.
Your words are marked. Grant Hill will not be a star
Grant
in this
Hill...
league. Grant Hill will peak at 12 points a game. He does not fit in this league whatsoever, and he's surrounded by shit.
How can you say that? Grant Hill carried Duke to the national championship game as a senior. He has all the skills. He can jump out of
maybe
the building.
Maybe you can team him up with Christian Leitner.
He can play
maybe they can win 20 games next year
should.
And they can drop Bobby Hurley.
Maybe.
And then they can just have the whole Duke team all together.
Well, maybe they should. I mean, Leitner is a good player.
Leitner sucks.
Leitner doesn't
have a game. He can't play in the inside
he's
at all.
He's in the wrong situation with the Timberwolves. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, you know what else is the wrong situation? The Pistons.
The Pistons are a mess, but I think that Grant Hill could be Rookie of the Year this year. I know people are saying Glenn Robinson has a lock on
it. If they just give him the ball, whatever. Glenn Robinson does have that locked up. He could finish in the top three because they have no one on their team to do anything.
So the Pistons, obviously, major rebuilding mode, drafted Grant Hill this year. The year before, they drafted Lindsey Hunter and Allen Houston. Hunter looks pretty good, but Houston looks like a total wash.
Houston, they're terrible.
I mean, Houston had a nothing rookie year.
And really, yeah, I think playing Grant Hill at the three is also going to be a problem. I don't think he's 6'8", but he's not going to be able to play, I feel like, a three position well enough with his size, with his shots. I think he's just going to get taken advantage of.
I don't know. I see a lot of Scottie Pippen and Grant Hill. But he could also be the next Derek McKee, but I think he's the next Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's going to be the next Grant Hill.
I think...
Well, 20 wins last year, over-under.
Mm-hmm. The over, I think they went 30.
I say they win 21. I'll take the over on that. So the Indiana Pacers, let's talk about Mark Jackson.
The Indiana Mark Jackson, back in the Eastern Conference after... tears in hell with the LA Clippers.
Is he going to average over or under 10 points a game this year with the Pacers?
Under. But I think that he makes a big... I think, you know, this is now his second time.
I mean, who's
going to
give him points? I mean, is Reggie Miller going to really bump his point total at this point in his career?
Reggie Miller seems stuck in the 19 to 22.
Yeah, and I don't
range.
I mean, I don't know. I think he could make that jump. I think Smits could make a jump.
Smits had the best year of his career last year.
Yeah, and I think he could give more points. I think he's really the key for them.
This is an awesome team defensively, and I think Jackson will improve the function of their offense.
Do you think they're going to figure out a way to be able to shut down the Knicks and the Knicks' style of basketball in the playoffs?
I think...
Because that's pretty much...
They're almost as physical as the Knicks. I think if Rick Smith plays a little better against Ewing, you know, I think that they could beat the Knicks. And I think that...
I agree. Do you think they could beat the Magic? If the Magic are healthy and playing well?
Yeah, I mean, they killed the Magic in the playoffs last year, and I think that even with Horace Grant on Orlando, I think that they...
Grant might make the difference. It's at least a long series. It's a six or seven game series.
Defensively, the Pacers, I mean, Derek McKee, his long arms, he could shut down Anthony Hardaway in a seven game series. I like the Pacers a lot. I like the Pacers.
Who's Mark Jackson going to guard if McKee's on Hardaway?
I mean, you know, Mark Jackson, you know, he,
on Dennis Scott? Dennis Scott will have 50 points if he has Mark Jackson.
I mean, Mark Jackson is a little slow, but but he's one of the more articulate members of the league. I think that the Pacers will... I think the Pacers will win the Central Division. And I think that they will win... they won how many games? 47 games last year?
Correct.
I think they'll win 55 this year.
I think that's a great estimate. I feel like that's good. They're a...
And they're in that 1-2-3. They will edge out the Charlotte Hornets for the Central Division title.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on health. I think it's impossible to predict at this point what'll happen with all of them. But yeah, I think Byron Scott. I like him on this team too, putting up, being able to fill in.
Still with the flat top.
All right, let's talk about Big Dog. Let's talk about the Bucks.
The Bucks, an exciting offseason for the Bucks. You know, years of sort of being in the middle of the pack, and then finally the bottom falls out last year. And, you know, and this is the reward, I suppose, for the bottom falling out, is that they get the number one overall pick. They get Glenn Robinson, who everybody projects as being a star. They still haven't signed him, though.
That's problematic. But, I mean, they got to figure this out. He hasn't demanded a trade.
He is someone that I think will you know, I mean, this guy...
He's looking for $100 million for, instead of, like, $80 million, right?
He went to... Right. I mean, he went to Purdue. He'll be willing to play in Milwaukee. You know, he's from Gary. He's used to being in depressing Midwestern places and still putting up points. And I think...
And that... I like him in that situation. I like him being the lead person on this team. I like him playing in obscurity in front of sad white people. I think it'll work out
the
well.
The silver lining of the Bucks last year was the progress of Vin Baker.
Right. I think Clint Robinson could somehow make Vin Baker an all-star if everything broke right in the next few years.
Do you think Robinson makes the all-star team this year?
Ooh, that's rough. I'm going to say he doesn't, but he makes it next year.
Okay.
But I'd see...
How many points does Robinson average?
I think he picks it up at the end of the year, which is part of the all-star prediction. I think he starts out a bit slow. I think he needs some adjustment with no one around him whatsoever, but I think he's smart enough and a good enough player that he figures it out. I think his outside shot is good enough that he will just, well, not only his outside shot, I mean, he's going to start the year shooting 18 footers and he's going to average probably 14-16 points a game to start. And then I think he's going to be able to work it inside by the end of the year.
Sure.
And I think he'll put up some games. Glenn Robinson will have one game where he scores 45 points this year. I'm not going to say 50, but I say he scores 45 points in one game this year. I think he has a rookie season for the ages, and he gives him something to build around. And I mean, I like Vin Baker. So I think those two, that's pretty special.
Do you think, I mean, is Todd Day ever going to learn?
No. No, he's not. I don't think so. I think the rest of this team is a mess. I mean, yeah.
I mean, Eric Murdoch seems sort of stuck, you know?
Yeah, I think they can pray. Brad Lojas at the center, I think with the size that they have, they can actually pull that off a little bit. And then you focus on getting a real point guard. I mean, if they were the team that pulled off, like, the Mark Jackson trade or something like that, I think the Bucks would be serious playoff contenders.
I wonder if Todd Day has any trade value at this point. I mean, Todd Day has been such a disappointment in this
game. He scores. There's enough. I mean, a league bereft of skilled point guards, they could definitely trade him to someone.
Well,
I don't know what you get. I mean, you get a back of the end lottery pick for him, but that's probably better than what he is at this point.
I think that the Bucks will still be very bad. I think that the Pistons will win more games than the Bucks, though I think that both teams will win more than 20 games this year.
I predict the Bucks to win more games than the Pistons.
All right.
I said the Pistons will win 21. I say the Bucks will win 22.
Down on the dregs of the Central.
Indeed.
And that is
the Eastern Conference.
That is the Eastern
Conference.
Nice work. Conference.
All right. Do you just want to do simple predictions here of...
We've covered a lot of terrain. Let's...
Conference Finals. Who's it going to be?
Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I like the... You know, I like a rematch with the Knicks Pacers. I have to be conservative on this one.
Oh, geez. I think the Pacers are definitely going to be... I like the Pacers. I think the Knicks are going to fuck up. I think they're going to fall apart. I also think they're going to not be healthy, which is a ridiculous prediction to make, but I just don't think they're going to be healthy.
I think the Hornets could sneak... I like the,
it's Hornets or the Magic.
I think the Hornets are a good playoff team because... I like the nastiness of Mourning and Johnson. I like the outside shooting of Hawkins. I think that they could be a sleeper in the East, but it depends
on
the
Hawkins.
Yeah, it's
hard to predict the team to make that leap after not winning so much in the playoffs. I'm with the Pacers to come out of the East, and they're going to play either the Magic or the Hornets. If I had to pick one, I'd probably say the Hornets, just because... They're just incredibly dynamic.
Of those four teams, I mean, I think we both agree that those are the four lead in the NBA Eastern Conference this year. I like the Magic the least as a playoff team. How you can't hide Shaq at the end of games.
It's true.
And everyone else is inexperienced. Do you trust Dennis Scott at the end of a game? Do you trust Nick Anderson at the end of a game?
I trust Scott a little bit. I mean, I just think, yeah, there's open shots to be had if they play their game right. But I do, I'm concerned about the health of all these teams.
It's hard. One thing that we are not concerned about this year is the health of the league. despite the display of the players.
Well, if the Knicks make the finals again, I'm concerned about my own personal health because I'm going to try to slip my wrist. Which is a perfect segue into our next segment, which is songs when your girlfriend breaks up with you, you listen to when you want to slit your wrists.
This has been it's been an edifying inaugural podcast.
Just the Eastern Conference. We got more.
We have so much more. It'll be more succinct next time. I guess just really quickly, did you see MTV Jams this week?
Like which day?
On Tuesday, that the new Notorious B.I.G. video.
Oh, no.
It's juicy. I think it's better than Big Papa.
Really?
He's, like, on a boat. And I think he's really good. And I think that he is better than Montel Jordan. And he's maybe my favorite, better than Bone Thugs and Harmony. He's maybe my favorite rapper right now in MTV Jams. Unfortunately, my parents came home on Wednesday, and I wasn't able to watch it again, but it looks like the Juicy video is here to stay on MTV Jams.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing, to all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter, and all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the world's trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Ron G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap, I smoke skunk with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive. And it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. punks. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, Matthew.